Thank you. Thank you. You can be seated. Thank you. I appreciate it. I like the energy in here. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. You might find out there ain't much to cheer for. I don't know. There we go. Bible. There's Bible to cheer for. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
I do love the energy in here. You know why? Because I don't like grouchy people. I don't like grouchy people. And I like people that wake up in the morning and that are glad that they woke up. Amen. We could have came through the back doors this morning vertical, but we're horizontal instead. Amen. I got that backwards, didn't I? Some of y'all woke up this morning and said, good morning, Lord. And some of you woke up and said, good Lord, it's morning. And I'm glad for those of you that said, good morning, Lord. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 2. I'm glad to come to a place and feel at home, even though I've never been here before. And I like that. I feel like I'm right at home. There are some people here that I know. There's a few. I know I saw Lily yesterday, and Brother Monty prayed a while ago, and he's like a brother of mine. In fact, I called his dad Uncle Monty. And growing up, me and him grew up together pretty much, and hunting and fishing and all that kind of stuff. We did it all the time, and he's been to our church over and over and over again, and his dad's been to our church more than I have. And when his dad was preaching and traveling the country, the joke was that we're in Alabama, and if Brother Monty was going to California, he'd find his way through Alabama to get to our church. And we loved him. He was a man of God, and we loved him. And I love Brother Monty. He's a great friend. And Miss Sandy. I like Miss Sandy too. And but they're wonderful people. And then there's more. Of course, my dad's here, and I know him. And I've known him my whole life, just about. And Mackenzie, are you here, Mackenzie? Mackenzie Kennedy, are you here? Where's Mackenzie? Don't stand. Just wave your hand at me. Did she skip chapel? Do I need to tell her dad that? I don't see her anywhere. Okay. All right. Brother C.W. pastors across town from me. Mackenzie either skipped or she got kicked out of Hiles Anderson College. Okay. There we go. No. She's where? Oh, she was at prayer meeting. Okay. So she's tired. Okay. All right. Good. I've preached to her. That's probably why she's not here. She used to have to hear me in her school chapel at the Christian school she went to. And so she probably saw my name and said, I've heard all his sermons. And so she's not here. No, I love her family. And I'm glad to be able to be here this morning. I know y'all are used to people that are much taller than me behind this pulpit. And this is a good thing I got this mic. Amen. Daniel chapter 2, I said that you feel like family because everybody here is so warm and welcoming at our church. It's family every Sunday. In fact, almost everybody in my church is related. And my dad's got five kids. I've got five kids. Brother, we are from Alabama. I mean, literally, our church has so much family in it that's been there for so long. When somebody decides to get married or to date each other, we have to go pull out the family tree and say, you can or can't, right? And I know we're from Alabama, but we're not Kentucky, okay? I'm just messing around. Everybody that I see in this place that says that knows that we came here from Alabama looks at me and says, "Roll Tide." Go Vols, amen. Go Vols. I'm not a Crimson Tide fan, and I was subjected to depression and wrath by being a Tennessee fan, and that's what I like, amen. And so I'm a Tennessee fan, but it's good to be here. I watched the Bears game the other night. I streamed it while we were here. Some of you are probably Bears fans. I'm a Cowboy fan. I understand your pain. And I'm used to seeing us lose games that we should have won. And I got a lot in common with you. But I'm glad to be here and to be preaching to you this morning. Let's get started. Daniel chapter 2 this morning. And I'm gonna use a lot of Bible. Is that okay? Okay. All right. That's what I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to use my King James Bible. I did say my King James Bible. And I'm going to use a lot of Bible, okay? I'm going to use some Old Testament and some New Testament. And I'll save some time by because I will get you out of here on time. I know that you're hungry, but I have had 4 cups of coffee. I had 3 this morning when I got up at 6 o'clock. And then as soon as I got over to the radio station, the sweet lady there brought me another one while I was sitting there with Pastor Wilkerson. Since she brought it, I had to drink it too. So I could preach all day. But when I crash, it's going to be a crash. Daniel chapter 2. Do y'all stand? Do y'all stand? Do whatever you want. Daniel chapter 2, I don't want to read you the whole story. You know the story here of Daniel and the Hebrew boys, later called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They needed to be, the king had a dream, and he wanted them to interpret it. So in all of that, he was very angry and upset, and Daniel said that he thought that he could. And I want to go all the way down, and instead of reading the whole story, let's just start in verse 15. He answered and said, to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. And then verse 16 says this, then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Verse 17 says this, then Daniel went to his house, made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Azariah, Abednego, his companions, the Bible says. Verse 18, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel, and then he calls them this, and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you. What a privilege, what an honor it is to be in your house, to stand behind a pulpit, and to proclaim your word. Lord, I know that amongst a crowd this size, there is no doubt someone here that needs something from you today. God, I pray that you would take the words that I would have to say this morning, and you would put them into the hearts and into the ears of your people to be the words that you need them to hear. Let me get out of the way this morning. Let the Holy Spirit work. Let him do what only he can do. I plead all that I ask under the blood of Jesus Christ. Be with my wife and kids while I'm away. It is in your name I pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated, sit back down. Daniel, you know the story. I don't have to go through all of it. You're here in Bible college, so I would assume that you know most of your Bible. Amen. But I want to take the story in Daniel, and I want to go from there, and I want to go over to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew. You say, Brother Jonathan, where in the world are you going this morning? Just hang on, all right? Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35 says this, and Jesus went about all cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Jesus was doing a lot of work in the book of Matthew. He was out. He was preaching, he was teaching, he was healing, he was doing all these things. And then go to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1. When he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them the power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And then he names them in verse 2, 3, and 4. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican James, the son of Alphaeus and Lebedeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot. And then there's a comma there, who also betrayed him. Here's what I want to preach to you for just a few minutes this morning, for the next 20 or 30 minutes. Everybody needs somebody. Sometimes. Here's what you need to understand, college student at Hiles Anderson College. You are here this year, this semester, whatever you're a freshman or a sophomore, a junior or a senior, and you cannot do this on your own.
They sang the song a while ago, and Christ is all I need, all I need. And how many of you know this is true? Christ is all that I need. And he's placed me on this earth to carry out an assignment and an earthly mission for him, and he did not intend for while I'm here for me to do it on my own. The full assignment that God has for your life is always greater than your ability to handle it by yourself. If you can do it all by yourself, then it is not all that God called you to do. Whatever God has called you to do always requires someone else to help you along the way. If you can do it alone, your vision is too small. What God calls you to do always requires help. We've been raised in our generation, and I'm a young 40-year-old this morning. Some of you said, I can't believe he's 40. Yeah, I know. I'm a young 40-year-old this morning, so I'm going to say our generation. Is that okay with you? Yeah, that's all right. Our generation has believed the lie, the illusion of me, myself, and I. I think, therefore I am. I can handle everything and anything all on my own. Did you know that's a lie this morning? You can't handle it on your own. Everybody needs somebody sometime. I'm going to show you my age a little bit here. The Lone Ranger had to have Tonto. Yeah, some of you know what I'm talking about. Batman and Robin. Yogi and, yeah, Boo Boo. You had to have Boo Boo. Jordan and Pippen. Kobe and, yeah. Everybody has got to have somebody sometimes. Some of you still don't look like you believe me this morning. Since you don't believe me, go all the way back to the book of Genesis. Let's go to the very beginning of it all. Let's go where it all started. In Genesis chapter 2, in Genesis 1, God begins to create. And everything that he creates, when he's done, he says, it's good. Have you read your Bible? You know that's true? The word good that he uses in that passage is the Hebrew word tov, T-O-V. It means not the normal good, like if you were to, do y'all have sun drop here? We have an altar and you can get saved later. I drink cherry sun drop where I'm from. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. It is good. It tastes wonderful. But that is not the good that we see in the book of Genesis. This word doesn't just mean that it's pleasing or that it's pleasing to the eye. It means it's good because it's self-sustaining. It doesn't need anything else. It's good all by itself. It can keep on going and going and going because it's good. God says, let there be land and let there be sea. And when he finds out that the sea is not trying to be the land and the land is not trying to be the sea, he says, now that's good. Y'all can keep going. He then says, now let the land produce vegetation. And when the land begins to produce vegetation, God says, it's good because the land can keep doing that all by itself. He then says, I'm going to create the sun and the moon. And he puts the sun over there and the moon over there. And he tells the moon, you stay there. He tells the sun, you stay there. And when the sun and the moon obey what God's told them to do, he says, it's good. Now keep doing it. He then looks at the fish and he says, y'all go make more fish. The fish make more fish. And he looks to them and says, it's good. He looks to the cattle and the beast of the field and he says, cattle produce more cattle and beasts produce more beasts. And God says, it's good because it's doing what I called it to do. Everything is good until you get to chapter 2. In chapter 2, God's given Adam an assignment for his life. Care for my creation. When God sees that Adam is struggling to care for things and Adam is struggling to be himself and Adam is struggling to keep up, his assignment, God sees, is greater than the ability that he has. God looks and he says, it's not good. It's not sustaining. It's not finished. It's not complete. And God gives him Eve because you can't achieve your assignment, Adam, all by yourself. In Daniel chapter 2, Daniel realized that just like Adam in Genesis chapter 2 and Jesus in Matthew chapter 9, in chapter 10, that he could not do all of these things all by himself. When Matthew names the 12 disciples, in his naming, he shows how much we need each other. James and John, Peter and Andrew, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, James and Thaddeus, Simon and Judas. Nobody shows us the power of productive partnership more than the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Jonathan, you're telling us this morning that the Christ of the Bible needed somebody? I'm telling you this morning that the Christ of the Bible needed somebody. Some of you say, I feel like that might be heresy, Brother Jonathan. Well, you better take it up with God because he wrote it. Jesus in Matthew chapter 9 is healing. He's walking on water. He's healing the blind. He's healing deaf ears. He's doing all of these ministry things that take place in the ministry. He is working and working and working. And he says in chapter 10, I need some help. You know the verse. The harvest is plenteous. Laborers are few. I need some help. And here's what I'm here to tell you this morning. If the Son of God in his earthly body got to the point down here on this earth that he said, Father, I need somebody. You need somebody this morning. You need some people in your life that are going to help you stay on the right track. You're going to go into ministry one day and you're going to need some people to help you in that ministry one day. Everybody under the sound of my voice this morning needs an and. You need somebody to go along with you and to help you. Where do we find an and is the question number one this morning. Where do we find one? Well, number one, we find one in a community of believers. Don't go outside of the community of believers to try to find somebody to help you through this life. They don't have what you need to get into ministry. They don't have what you need to grow a ministry. They don't have what you need to get through relationships and walk your day-to-day Christian life. Somebody outside of this thing that is not a believer, they do not understand what you have, and so they don't have what you have, what you need. A community of believers. I'm glad that you're in Bible college this morning. Because being in Bible college tells me that you're surrounded with a community of believers. So you've got the first part down. You're around a whole bunch of people that can help you. But let me just tell you this morning, some people are in your life this morning that are assigned by God. And some people are in your life that are allowed by you. And there's a big difference. Surrounding ourselves with the right people is the key to how much we are able to do for God. People that edify us, people that build us, people that hold us accountable, the right people being around us all the time is what we need. I've been a youth pastor for over 15 years now. Nothing can send a teenager downhill faster than the wrong friend. Listen, I've got news for you this morning. I'm glad you're in Bible college. You can find the wrong friend in church too. You can find the wrong friend in Bible college. You can find the wrong type of people. You fellas that are in here and you're zealous for ministry and you preachers that are in here and you're ready to preach the gospel and you're ready for a pulpit and you're ready to be a revival speaker or an evangelist somewhere. The type of people that you surround yourself is what is going to help you fulfill the assignment that God has for your life. And the wrong ones are going to destroy your testimony, tear you down, and wreck and ruin you. A community of believers is what you have to have. Daniel had some companions that came from the right place. People of the right mind, the right spirit, the right background. They knew God. Believers build believers. How many of you know that people that are confident in Christ, oftentimes it rubs off on somebody else. Whenever somebody gets an answer to prayer, oftentimes it'll help you be able to pray more. They mentioned my children. I've got four and one on the way. And Dallas, my son, is the oldest. And Knoxley and Denver and Bristol are right behind him. And they're all younger. And the one that's on the way, it's another girl. Somebody help me. And so we're outnumbered. But we play some games. We drive up and down the road, and we'll play some games, preacher. And we live way out in the country. And we've got our 150-something acres there of heaven that we kind of deer hunt on and turkey hunt on and do all those things. But it takes us, we've got about 15 miles before we ever get to a town. And so when we get out on the road, I give the kids something to do in the car. I don't want them to be on iPads and all that stuff all the time. And so, amen. And so I'll give them something to do, and we'll play some games. And so they'll look for deer. They'll try to spot deer along the side of the road. And I'll pay them. Daddy will give you $1 for every deer that you spot. And I love turkey hunting. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Some of y'all were there. Is there some turkey hunters in the building? Praise God. Everybody else get saved today, all right? And if they see a turkey, I'll give them $5. Population is way less. So because of us. So I'll give them, yeah. So I'll give them $5 for a turkey, and I'll pay them $1 for every deer. And so we're on our way to town one day. And Dallas, he's the oldest, he's 12, and his sisters are 7, 5, and 2. And Bristol in her car seat back there, she don't know. She would rather have, she thinks monies, coins are more important than paper money. And so if I give her paper, she don't want it. I can give her a handful of pennies, and she thinks it's $1,000. So that's what I usually do to start out with. Here's your money, Bristol. And but Denver and Knox are 7 and 5, and Dallas, he'll usually spot them first, and he'll get his bank account rolling, right? Well, we get almost to town one day. We've got a mile left. And I see Denver in the back seat crying. And I look in the mirror and I said, Denver, what's wrong? I hadn't spotted any deer yet, Dad. We prayed that we'd see deer. Dallas and Doxley have spotted all of them. And I said, Dallas, let your sister have some deer. You look at the floorboard for a while. And Knoxley says, well, Dad, if we prayed for it, shouldn't she see some without helping it out? Oh, you're right. I start going slower. We got a mile. We got to find a deer. We got a mile. I got to help her faith. We get to the red light where I know town is, and I've lost all hope. And I said, well, Denver, I'm going to give you some money to spend at the store anyway. I'll help you out. But Dad, I didn't see any deer. I didn't spot any. And she's crying. And Knoxley says, well, Denver, we're not at the store yet. And I said, well, Knoxley, I know, but we got to drive through the town. We're not going to see any deer in the town. And Knoxley says, and if you know Knoxley, Sandy will agree with me on this. If you know Knoxley, she's a know-it-all. She's a 7-year-old, 18-year-old. And Knoxley says, Dad, you don't believe God? Yeah. Yeah. I said, no, I believe him. I believe him. And Knoxley starts praying. God, help Denver to spot a deer in town. We know that you can do it, God. We know that you can do it. You made the deer. You can put them in front of us. You can do it. I drove the car and I began to sweat bullets thinking, what in the world are we going to do? And we came through a stoplight in town and I looked over at a field by a house that I have never seen even a squirrel in. Animals don't live anywhere around there. I've never seen anything there. And 5 deer were running across the field. And Denver goes, praise the Lord. $5, Dad. I got five. Denver went from tears of sorrow because she couldn't find any dear to her sister praying with her, helping her to believe. What are you telling us this morning with that, Brother Jonathan? I'm telling you, you need to get around some people that know how to get some answers from God, that know how to go before God. Daniel wasn't in a position where somebody was going to pay him to spot some deer. He was in a position that was life or death, and he had what the Bible calls some fellows that he could go to, that he could depend on, that they could desire the mercies of God on his behalf. In your community of believers, you'll find where you can find that end. Then you'll find the next question, why do we need it? Why do we need an end? Because we've got some conditions on our belief. What they believed had some conditions. In chapter 3, their belief got them put in a fiery furnace. The condition of their belief was there was a lot of people that did not like them. The conditions from the blessings of my belief are far greater than the conditions that the world puts on my belief. The condition of your belief this morning may be that you're not part of the in crowd. Maybe the crowd that follows you will disappear. Maybe it's not always popular to live for God, to serve God, to love God, and to go for God. But I have news for you. There's no sense in trying to be popular with everyone else. There's only sense in trying to be popular with Him who created you this morning. There was some conditions on their belief. The crowd in the New Testament was not committed to Jesus Christ. They were fascinated by Him. The crowd saw miracle. The crowd wanted miracle. The crowd shouted Hosanna. The crowd crucified. In fact, the closer he got to Calvary, the smaller his crowd became. The last question this morning is, what do we get with an and? What are you telling me that I'm going to get through my years of college when I have an and? You'll get a coalition of boldness. Boldness spreads. Daniel never would have gone to someone that did not believe what God could do if he didn't think they believe what God could do. Sometimes the boldness of one helps others to be bold. I'll give you this and I'll be finished this morning. I've been coaching high school basketball for a long time, Christian school. And every year we take our kids, we would take them every year up until this year, up until that year, we would take them on a camping trip out in the woods where I live. And we'd take the varsity and the junior varsity. And the goal was, me and my brother would run this trip, and the goal was to scare the junior varsity as much as we could. I mean, to make them... Can I say pee in your pants? Okay, I did. So to make them do that, to scare them. And we would get out there and we'd get in tents and then we would take a hike. And it was a long hike. And there was a house at the end of it. Long story short, there's a house at the end of this these hills. And this old house was falling in. It was built in the 1800s. You can walk in it and walk into the second story. That's how much it was falling in. Old shoes nailed together, old stuff everywhere. And when you got to the bottom of this valley, you would feel the mist of the air would hit you and you'd get goosebumps. And it was always cool and cold down. It is spooky. How many of you are deer hunters in the building? Yeah. You go down there and there's rubs on cedar trees that big around. I mean, big deer. Now ask me how many times I've ever hunted down there. Yeah, zero. Why? Because I ain't hunting down there with all them spirits. Them big deer can come up to my corn pile, amen? And it was scary. So we would take this hike to this old house, and on the way, we would have things placed and set up along the trail to make them think that Bigfoot had been here, or, oh, y'all believe in Bigfoot, amen? And so we would make them think that he's been around. He knocked this tree over the trail. He done. We had some rules. You can't bring any weapons. Nope, we didn't want anybody dying. No weapons. Only me and my brother could have flashlights. That was it. We'd have these things set up. Me and my brother were not the best kids in school. And can I go down here? All right. And we made up a language in school so that we could talk without our teachers knowing what we were talking about. It was called Oppidoppi. And we could talk to each other in a different language and nobody knew what we were saying. Me and him and some of our friends. And so we'd get on this trail, me and David, and He'd ask me some things. He wanted to know if something in place. So he'd say, dapid yapu papa dapa trapi yapin plapes. I'm not speaking in tongues, I promise. And I would say, that's, did you put the tree in place? Yes. I would say, yapes, I put the tree in place. We'd get farther down the trail and he'd say, apar yapu rapid api tapu skaper. Are you ready to scare? And I'd say, yapes, wapai apar rapid api tapu skaper. Yes, we are ready to scare. And as we'd come down the trail, we would have places to scare. And there was an old man that lived at the bottom of the hill. And the house, they didn't know this, but he was dead and gone, but they didn't know that. And we would take them to that house and show it to them. There's no electricity or nothing at that old house. And we would scare them there and make them think that somebody was there. We get to the end of this trail. It's a good 2 miles from our campsite. And when we get to this trail, we walk out, and David says to me, Joppin' up a thoppin', that's Jonathan, Dapu yapu hapev sapum thopping up a thoppa hop house. Do you have something at the house? And I said, Napo, no. I said, Thoppa rapi floppy copter, the reflector, wapil scopper thopim, we'll scare them. Put a light on it, it'll scare them. Okay. We get to the bottom of the hill, and in the back bedroom of that house, a lantern fires up. My brother looked at me, and he said, Dapid yapu dapu dapa, did you do that? And I looked back at him, and I said, Napo. My brother-in-law, my dad spoke about him yesterday, he was on the basketball team, but he was a senior. And so him and my nephew had begun over the years, because they came all the way up from JV, they had begun to pick up on our language. They didn't know it, but they could get words. And I saw Michael look at BJ, and Michael said, I don't think they did that. And I looked back at Michael and said, Napo wapi dapa dapa. No, we didn't. And BJ said, who did? And I said, apai dapo napo. And as it began to spread to them that we don't know who did this, all the little junior hires started to go, you mean y'all didn't set that lantern up? You mean y'all didn't do? And they began to get scared. And before I knew it, there were kids running around dark woods, running into trees. There was 24 of us running into trees, screaming, crying, no idea what's taking place or what's going on. And one little boy, a little freshman, looks at me and he tugs on my jacket. Brother Jonathan, he said, I need my inhaler. I said, DJ, I didn't even know you had asthma. I said, well, get it out. And I start going through his pockets. I said, get it out. Let's get it out and get your inhaler. He said, it's at the tent. I could see it now, preacher. Baptist school, Christian school kills a kid in the woods in Tennessee. 2 miles we got to go to get to that tent. I don't know what in the world we're going to do. Junior hires are running everywhere. Me and my brother can't even remember how to speak oppy-doppy anymore. I mean, this is getting insane. And now DJ's going to die. My oldest nephew, BJ, the biggest boy on the basketball team, BJ walks over. BJ grabs DJ, and he throws him up over his shoulder, and he says, Uncle Jonathan, give me a flashlight. I'll get him to the top. And David looked at me and said, Kapan hoppy dapu thopat? Can he do that? And I said, Apai shapo or hopo sapo. I sure hope so. And BJ puts that light on the trail, has it front. Michael says, give me one. I'll go in front of him and clear the path. And Michael gets in front of BJ, and BJ starts up that hill, and all them junior hires started coming out of the woodworks everywhere all around. Yeah, we're going to get DJ to the top of the hill. We can get him to that inhaler. And me and my brother are sitting there going, we're all going to die. There's no way they're going to get us out of here. And because, here's what I'm telling you this morning, because one kid decided that I could have a little bit of bold, that I can do something that nobody else thinks I can. Everybody around him began to get bold for what. Where you at, Brother Jonathan? I'm not in the woods in Middle Tennessee anymore. I'm right here at Hiles Anderson College this morning, and I'm telling you that if one gets bold for God, another gets bold for God, and another gets bold for God, and another gets bold for God. And here's what you need to know this morning, that you cannot do it all by yourself. Get you an and get an answer to prayer. Get you an and sing that special with all you got. Get you an and, teach that class, jump in that ministry, run that bus route, knock those doors, win more souls, but you won't do it alone. If I get somebody on the piano, I'm finished this morning. A coalition of boldest men. I'm 40 now. Them steps are rough. Whew. Here's what I'm telling you this morning. If one will witness, more will witness. If one will pray, more will pray. If one will worship, more will worship. If one will praise, if one will serve, if one will just show up, more will. I want these things for you this morning. You know, this morning, your pastor needs an and. It's Brother Aaron, right? I don't know your story, your situation. I don't know what happened with your daughter. I don't know any of it. All I know is when you came up to the pulpit this morning and said what you said, I said in my mind that man's got some ands. Got some ands. It doesn't matter where you are, young people. You need an and this morning. Let's get out of our comfort zone this morning. Grab one this morning. Grab them. There you go. Get out of your comfort zone. Grab you an and this morning. I've got a thing in my youth group and with my college age kids at the church. We have this saying, preacher, that nobody prays alone. Nobody prays alone. Why? Because we need multiple to desire the mercies of God with each other. Don't leave me on my own in this thing. God gave us to each other and assigned you to this place for a reason. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you don't have an and. Find one. Maybe you know somebody that don't have one. Go to them. Go to them. Pray with them. Pray over them. We've got about 4 minutes left this morning. We can spend it praying. Father, we love you. You can play slowly as we pray, softly as we pray. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for your goodness and your mercies. I thank you for the willingness, Lord, of all of these young people. God, these men that are desiring of you to do things with their life, and these young ladies that are desiring of you, they're praying to you, they're calling out to you, they're crying to you this morning, God. I pray that you would lock them in arm step together. You would use them for your will, for your purpose, and for your glory. I pray that you would give them lives that would glorify God Almighty. God, there may be one in here this morning that's hurting. I pray that you would be the God of heaven, that you'd wrap your arms around them. You'd show them what peace and comfort and mercy is. God, I pray that you'd give them a friend in this place that would desire your mercies with them. God, we need you, and none of this stuff is important without you. We've got to have you. And there is so much more power when we do it together than when we try to do it on our own. Everybody in this place, God, needs somebody. God, I pray that you'd give them exactly the person they need. Assign some people into their lives to walk with them.